Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday night segment of Host of Into the Night with me, Sean Kelly. And hello, Michael Anthony. How are you tonight? Yes, I am live. As you can tell, ladies and gents, I got a haircut and shaved the beard. You know, come back to normal. So this is what I look like underneath all that freaking hair that I had out of here and the beard out of here. Hey, Holly, good to see you, hon. My friend Daniel James, who's going to be my guest tonight, will not get here till about 8:30 because he's working. And but it's really, really interesting what the topic that he has. I did watch his little 20-minute YouTube thing on the Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania, and it's interesting. I didn't even know about it until I actually saw his YouTube thing. His YouTube show that, or you know, the video that he produced on that. It's pretty interesting, you know. Hey, Cindy Simpson, good to see you, hon. Scotsman, good to see you too, sir. River Rose, good evening, Sean and Michael and everyone. Sean, you look fabulous. Well, thank you. I feel fabulous tonight. Before we continue on, I'm on UPRN Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi. I want to thank Joe Monteldo for allowing me to share another hour of my show for you on Tuesday night. I have two shows, Tuesday night, Sunday nights, on the same platform here, UPRN Talk Radio. They both start at 8:10 p.m. till 9:10 p.m. So I got a couple messages or a couple things I want to tell you before I continue talking. Okay, now this Friday night at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., I am going to be on Kelly Shellhorn Show Switchboard on this platform. So that's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and I'm a guest on her show for that night. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. What else was there? Well, we went fishing today, okay? And for the first time in 2 years. Now, I know we got some fishermen out there, and I know in Pennsylvania, trout's the big thing. Trout fishing is the big thing here in Pennsylvania. So, of course, I use trout bait, you know? So I got a hit, and it was, you know, reeling it in, and all of a sudden, something smacked it really hard. It was a largemouth bass, 17 and a half inches, and it weighed about, 5 pounds. And we got into thinking, what happened was that largemouth bass was going after one of the small trouts, the small trout that was hooked on my line. This sucker was huge, man. So if you go to Sean Kelly, you know, my Facebook page, and I know a lot of people have seen it, that's the picture of the bass I caught tonight. So today, well, this morning. So I'm doing okay. Mentally wise, physically wise, I'm doing pretty good tonight. So I hope everybody else out there is feeling the same way that I am feeling. Now, before Daniel comes on at 8:30, did everybody survive the rapture on Monday? Did everybody have any or seen any demonic entities coming from outer space? I saw, but I had those glasses on, you know, and what amazed me about the whole eclipse was that the sun was really bright. Okay, where I was at. But if you put the glasses on, you actually saw the moon, you know, going across the sun. And I thought that was very, very interesting, you know. Cindy Simpson, oh, Kason, oh, hoy, Sean, no cap today. No, I got a haircut, buddy. Cindy says, yes, I loved it. Soaked up the rays of energy. Yes, I did too. Kason is marked safe from the rapture. But, you know, What I have two things that I want to talk about tonight or about it. All these people that you see on TikTok and that you see on the web claiming this is, biblical, or the prophecy, or all kinds of negative bad crap's going to happen to us. That they're going to unleash some kind of, biological warfare stuff on all the people watching, because they're all going to be together. And as far as I have seen, and as far as I have saw on the internet, on the news, anywhere I can get it, anywhere, trying to find, nothing happened. The only bad thing that happened was traffic for the people coming back from what's in the eclipse. That's the only bad thing that I saw, and Cindy, Jamar says, LOL, yes, disappointed the so-called Christians did not leave. Cindy Simpson says, we won't know when the end will be here. And that's true, Cindy, we don't know. Could be tomorrow. Jamar says, what an awesome experience, and charged my water and made my intention. That's good. I hope that the charge of your water really helps you out, Jamar. I really do. But yes, we don't know what the ends of times are. What pisses me off is that people are out there putting the fear of God, fear of everything out there. And why do people do that? Just to give them enough likes on their TikToks? It just like every other one. Oh, this solar eclipse is going to be the bad thing, and all kinds of crap is going to happen. And people buy into it, And I just shake my head, you've seen so many things that people are putting out there before this happened that, my brain was getting whacked out because, this is true. Is this going to happen? I mean, no. Nothing happened where I was at. Nothing at all. The energy was awesome. I can guarantee you on that. That was a double dose. Let me see. Kaysen says, they're not going to succeed, Sean. Those who trying to wipe out the humanity or whatever. Jamar says, henny penny, the sky is falling. Yeah. I don't know. It just, I was really looking for something disastrous to happen. I really was. But nothing happened. Now, I'm not the type of guy to go up to a certain person and say, you're full of shit, because I'm not. And everybody in here who's watching my show, who knows about my show, knows that I do not judge on what people think or what they say. I don't judge it. I have no right to judge anybody. Cindy says, I watched without glasses and took pictures. Okay, Cindy, God bless you. Did you turn blind? Did you go blind? All right. Now, I was watching on Entertainment Tonight that, there's a lot of people, again, on TikTok saying, my eyes are burning. My eyes are hurt. My eyes are this. My eyes are that. And is it psychological that they're actually making their eyes hurt? Could we actually make our eyes feel, burning? I don't know. River says they are all programmed to listen and not research for themselves. And I was more concerned with the powers that be trying something awful other than chemtrails, only cause I don't trust them. I watch without glasses too. Jamar says yes. And Rivers said she watched it without her glasses, and she said her eyes are just fine. And Cindy's saying, nope, I can still see my, I don't know what that is. It's still working fine. I guess her eyesight. And Jamar says, hysterical blindness. And Kasem says, I mean, just in case. But my, so again, whoever is inventing all this crap out is putting a lot of BS out there. And it's a type of control. I do believe it is a type of to control the masses, to control the people. Okay. Now CERN went off. Okay. That was another biggie. You know, the sun passing, you know, the moon passing through the sun, and then CERN letting loose. Then the military actually shooting rockets up into the moon. Has anybody heard or read anything about them actually launching off rockets? I haven't heard nothing. I haven't heard a thing. But just listening to what Cindy says, my phone is still fine from taking pictures. They were saying, don't take pictures as it might break the screen. Let me put that up there so everybody can read that, Cindy. Okay, Cindy says, my phone is still fine from taking pictures. They were saying, don't take pictures as it might break the screen. Who comes up with this bullshit? Excuse my language. Who does? Who comes up with this? Cindy says, Kasem, I'm old. It won't hurt me. Kasem says, my longtime U.S. friend has gotten awesome pics on Facebook. And I've seen a lot of pictures out there. I've seen a lot of videos, and they were totally awesome. Yes, they were. You know, to me, it's a miracle. To me, it's, you know, the universe working. It's also, you know, what the big man upstairs or whoever you believe in, it was his plan to make that happen. And I think the next time this is going to happen is like, what, 30, 40 years from now? You know? I don't know. But I believe it's a miracle. I believe that a lot of good things came out of this solar eclipse. The good thing was that it brought everybody together. The majority of people who went and actually saw them, like up in Erie, Pennsylvania, and over in Cleveland, you didn't hear nothing about no riots going on. You don't. You didn't hear it. None in Erie. But it brought up thousands and thousands of people together. And they are all sitting there enjoying the eclipse. They didn't have a care in the world if demons were going to come through the portals that CERN let off. They didn't care. And everybody, as what I have seen, everyone was getting along. Isn't that what we want? Is it not what we want? Everybody just being in one space, enjoying something, and not have a care in the world. That's what I'd like. And it really made me feel good, you know? It really did. It made me feel good that a bunch of people actually got together and watched and enjoyed, you know, the solar eclipse. So for all the jackasses out there that want to throw out some bullshit stuff, you know, scare the hell out of people. You know, I hope you eat egg. I hope you eat egg. I mean, seriously. Because you really did a number on people. You really mess with people's minds. Because River said earlier, she says, they don't do their research. They automatically take it on face value. And for what? Hits on their TikTok page? So they can get paid for it? Nah. That's horseshit. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves, scaring the shit out of people. You know, so, and that's the way I look at it. Now, there are some people out there that, you know, that did their research, and they also had it in the back of their mind, well, this could happen, or that could happen, you know, but they did their research. You just don't go out and tell every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Jane, Joe, Jane Doe, that it's the end of the world, because it wasn't. We're all still here. Cindy Simpson says, I was watching a live show of the eclipse. Everyone was emotionally happy. Just a big party with music. Families just having a great time. She said it right here. I'll put it up. And so I'll repeat it. She says, I was watching a live show of the eclipse. Everyone was emotionally happy. You see that word? Emotionally happy. Just a big party with music. Families just having a great time. When was the last time that ever happened? Not very much. So I hope people have learned their lesson, you know. I hope people can actually have a conscience and say, boy, I really did mess up. Now, with all these people on TikTok that are saying this and saying that, I would just like to be a fly on the wall in their computer room just to see how they feel. Some might be like, oh, hell, I screwed up. Or some were saying, haha, I got them all. I got my likes on Facebook. I got my likes on TikTok and on Instagram. And that's all that mattered. Bunch of horseshit is what it is. But we all survived. Everybody was happy. It was a good time. 4 minutes came, 4 minutes left. The only downfall for the whole thing was all the traffic coming back from watching the eclipse. That was a lot of traffic because I did see photos of that. I saw video. But my guests should be coming on pretty soon. I want to talk about them a little bit. Daniel James has been a very good friend of mine. I've had him on the show twice already, and we've talked about other things. Mainly Bigfoot and cryptids and stuff like that. But my friend Tara posted his little video on Facebook, and I checked it out. And I saw the title, The Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania. I was like, hell, that's interesting. That's interesting. Daniel is into zoology. You know, and there are three towns in this that makes this triangle. The first one is Uniontown. And I did a lot of investigations at Uniontown. In fact, the town of Uniontown, if you ever ride through Uniontown, stop off at the Marco's restaurant. You know, get a good dinner and just walk through the town at night. It's not busy. And you probably could see ghosts. I know the cemetery is really haunted. And I know if you go down and see Jared at the Marcos, say, hey, can I check out the brothel that's up on the third floor? Maybe he might let you go up or maybe not. I don't know. Hey, guess what? Daniel's here. Hey, buddy. All right. Without further ado, here's my friend Daniel James. Hey, hey Daniel. How are you, man? How was work? Okay.
Good. Very good. We actually finished on time. I'm a video producer. I work in video production. We got out on time, but I ended up having to take our actor home, which I didn't expect to do. And so set me back a little bit, but here I am.
No, I'm glad you're here. You know, I was just expressing how You know, I survived the rapture and the solar eclipse and all that
Yeah, didn't
stuff.
we
You
all?
know what I mean? You know, so as I was beginning to talk about you, please introduce yourself and give us a little background.
Yeah, certainly. Well, my name is Daniel James. I'm an actor and a filmmaker. I work in full-scale video production, and I also work in metaphysics, cryptozoology, things of that nature.
And I was telling the people, you know, Tara posted that little 20-minute video of the Bermuda Triangle, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And I watched it. It was very good 20 minutes there, dude. Very good 20
Thank you,
minutes.
man. I appreciate that. Awesome.
I really did enjoy it.
Thank
But
you.
I never heard it ever the Bermuda Triangle, Pennsylvania. Never heard of it. Is it
Yeah.
something that you brought up, or has it always been the Bermuda Triangle, Pennsylvania?
So good question. I'll give you a little bit of an introduction and how I
Please do.
understand it. Right. So, I'm big into cryptozoology and, you know, what you would call monster hunting. I don't actually do much paranormal research, but I am into cryptozoology. And I have some friends that like to come stay with me, and you know, we like to pick places to research or maybe go visit. Say, for example, the Serpent Mound in Ohio, or there is a lot of hot spots in West Virginia that have a lot of, you know, accounts and experiences of cryptids and creature sightings and things of that nature. And in our research in, I think it was 2019, 2020 time period, we had found the concept of the Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania when we were researching a lot of the hot spots for the paranormal and the esoteric encounters, things like Sasquatch, UFO sightings, UFO crashes, the dog men. There's a whole colony of like troll type creatures out here. And when we were researching these sort of esoteric paranormal hotspots, we came across the term the Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania. So when I researched it, it breaks down like this. You have the Chestnut Ridge in Western PA, and in the Bermuda Triangle, it's made up of three hotspots of activity. There's Derry, there is Uniontown, and there's Kecksburg. And in those towns or those cities, there is a large degree of paranormal esoteric sightings. Everything from like the werewolf dogmen, like I mentioned, there's like a troll sort of goblin species out here, a variety of different shapes and sizes of UFO sightings on a regular basis. Lots of the firsthand accounts with the Sasquatch out here. So when we found that there was this Bermuda Triangle of these three hotspots. From what I understand about areas that might have, like, say, for example, a heightened energy in the paranormal and the esoteric, or these sort of like manifestations of creatures and monsters and entities, you could have what's called as ley lines, like these energy vortexes, these energy sort of, not necessarily portals, but they're almost like currents of energy that work as like an amplification. Of energy. And in these ley lines, which run all the way, they run all over the world, but there's maps of them that you can find on the internet, which will break them down by like the states, say for example within the United States. And I used to live on a ley line in Olympia, Washington for
Oh,
many
wow.
years. That was some of the most paranormal activity I've ever experienced. It was just constant. And so we understand that there is a ley line system that would go through this Bermuda Triangle of those three points, the Derry, the Uniontown, the Kecksburg, which is why there are so many sightings and there are hot spots of these sort of creature sort of encounters. So that's the way that I understand it through our research. And then when we physically went there, we visited several times to produce our documentary over the course of about a year and a half actually. And that's the way that I understand this area. And so you won't hear the term the Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania used very often. It's more so just, I think it was more so like the locals who live there feel like they've heard that term used, and maybe they use it because they live there. But I came across it just in the cryptozoology community as an area of basically a triangle, if you will, of hot spots of sightings of creatures.
Now I know that my friend Roy White, okay, real quick. I was advertising about the paranormal investigation we did at the Duda Farm.
Sure.
This past, oh my God, it was freaking haunted. The farm's haunted, and it was a muddy, bloody, muddy mess.
Like you just and, know it, right?
Yeah. And he's telling me that he's only, that farm is like 10 miles from Uniontown. You know, so, and this farmland, I'm telling you, Daniel, it was creepy as hell, man. I mean, it would be like, it's a good farm. The people, Mark and Andrew, they who own it, they're great people. I mean, I really had a good time. But if you look at all the trees and the forest and the woods that surrounds it, we were investigating it, and there were times where I thought I was actually being watched down in that area with this investigation. But we're going to have Roy White come on in about 2 or 3 weeks, and we're going to talk about it. But what got you into the cryptozoology?
Right, great question. Well, it was to boil it down for me personally, it's the unknown, the mystery and the intrigue of that there is more. There has to be more. I know there to be more. And as a kid growing up, I'm in my second half of my 30s now, but as a kid growing up, I've always had my own personal encounters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, face to face with things that you can't explain, the type of stuff that you only see in the movies and the horror films. These are things that I've seen with my own eyes, and I've been in the presence of, not just that by myself, but also many times with other people. So you're having that sort of validation to corroborate the fact that, like, hey, there is a monster right there. Are you seeing that? Do you see what I see? That was a regular occurrence for me in Washington State over the course of, you know, 17 years growing up there. So for me, it started with personal experiences of things, the unexplained and the paranormal, that made me just, you know, evidence, hey, there is more. So I always was open-minded and interested in learning and did my research. And I started to just look at movies and works of fiction is pretty much kind of like, in a sense, fact, and that maybe they were being depicted to us as the works of fiction to maybe discredit things or drive our attention away from the fact that maybe these things really exist, but starting to use them as examples of like, okay, well, I've seen stuff kind of like this in my real life, so there has to be some truth to it. And then as I went through like whatever you would call as like a spiritual awakening in 2012, that's when I started working directly with like extraterrestrials and having my own experiences, that these sort of beings that I've worked with for now for years and years and years, they also can just teach us all about the stuff that, trust me, the government's never going to tell you the truth about, or you're never going to see on the History Channel or the Sci-Fi Channel or the Travel Network when they're doing the monster hunting shows. They're actually legally not allowed to show any tangible evidence on those shows. I used to date somebody who was in the shows, like she worked on those paranormal shows on the big networks and went to all the conventions and met all the big celebrities. And so we would go out with these guys and have dinner with them. You know, I can't name them, but the people that you see on television in the early 2000s and stuff, and they would tell us that, listen, anytime that we were investigating for a monster or a cryptid or a creature, if we found stuff, if we got audio recordings or if we caught stuff on video, we were told by the producers to just, we weren't allowed to air it. But don't you think that's purpose defeating, right? Why would it be a monster hunting show about cryptids when they're not legally allowed to show their evidence? Because our leadership, our government, they don't want us to know of the existence of things like the Sasquatch and the Dogman and fairies and goblins and trolls and mermaids and all of those things. They really truly do exist. I have tangible evidence and experiences throughout my whole life of them. But if the mass civilian awareness suddenly knew that all of these creatures in the cryptid category, which is basically like the definition of a cryptid in a sense, is a creature that we believe to exist but is unsubstantiated or unvalidated by science. That's a rough definition of the concept of a cryptid. And the only reason why they're not validated by science is because they're literally suppressed by our leadership and our government. Because if civilians, if people like us, average people, on a wide scale knew that things like the Bigfoot and werewolves and vampires and fairies and goblins existed the way that we understand them through fantasy, through television mm-hmm. and film, it would actually, what it would do is it would do two things. It would rewrite history. It would nullify and invalidate religion. And those two major paradigms that our society is built on, science and history and religion, mm-hmm. would go out the window. And okay. if that whole narrative breaks down, then a lot of the things, a lot of the paradigms in our reality that our leadership is in control over, for lack of a better description, you know, our shadow governments, they would rapidly, rapidly lose control over the civilian population. And okay. Their narratives would dissolve, and it would be really bad for the systems that our society is built on. So that's the same reason why they suppress the existence of extraterrestrials and aliens from civilians. It's the same thing. It would rewrite mm-hmm. history, it would rewrite religion, and it would invalidate a lot of science. It wow. would just stop working, and they can't have
it. I can actually see that. I can actually see where you're coming from. Cindy Simpson, my friend, has a question for you. Are you worried about the government lashing out from you speaking out?
Sorry about the alarm. Yes, that's a great question. And so I'd love to dive into that a little bit further as well. There was a period in my life years ago when I was genuinely scared.
Okay.
I was scared that the knowledge that I have, the information that I express on the internet, the things that I talk about, could get me in trouble. You know, mm-hmm. not even just, say, for example, getting me canceled, right? You hear the alarms going off as soon as we talk about this.
Yeah. Timing. You read my mind, dude, because I'm thinking this.
It's not a coincidence. I live in a small town, and that alarm goes off. It's like the fire department, but timing wise, it's a little too bizarre. So I used to be afraid that they, you know, would not like me speaking about these things. They don't want me to disclose the truth. They certainly don't want me presenting any evidence that I have. And I walk a fine line. I walk a very fine line of what I do and I don't say to keep myself safe and to play by the rules of the matrix temporarily so that I can get by and continue my work here. But also, there also becomes another line in the sand where, you know, over the years, maybe say, for example, I've become a little bit of like what you would call a public figure. I have an audience. Mm-hmm. People know my work. They know what I do. I'm a filmmaker, and I've worked in the entertainment industry for, you know, 7 years. And because of the status that I've achieved in terms of like being somebody who works in this field, if I were to like, you know, suddenly just suicide myself, suddenly die or suddenly go missing or suddenly have like, let's say, for example, maybe I don't disappear, but all of a sudden I have a rapid change of opinion on things. You know, right. maybe suddenly I start agreeing with the mainstream narrative and suddenly I become very religious and suddenly I start like, calling people conspiracy theorists, and I quit believing in the things I've been talking about for 10, 12 years, and I quit presenting evidence, and I quit, doing my work in metaphysics, then that would also be very suspicious to my audience. Mm-hmm. Everybody would say, that's not the Daniel that we know. That's not how he really is. I know him well enough to know by following his work for the last 10 years that he would never say that. He would never change his mind on those things. So it almost works in a sense, to a degree, I'm not saying that I'm immortal, but it almost works to a degree like a little bit of a protection. Because once mm-hmm. you reach a certain degree of people knowing who you are and what you do, then if like you suddenly disappear or you suddenly quit talking about this stuff or change your opinion on them, it's very suspicious. And then what that does is it just confirms everything that we've been saying for 10, 12 years. And they don't want that either.
I hope that helped you out there, Cindy. Jamar says, I like your guess. Kason says, I love to see what happens. Finally, all religions get invalidated. Just humans without gods or beliefs missing under their feet.
Right.
And River Rose says, I am the same way as Daniel. And River's cool people, man. She's good people.
Right on.
She says, I am the same way as Daniel. I have always seen things since I was 4 years old and just been highly sensitive too. I also have always thought rivers, lakes, natural bodies of water, and ley lines hold a tremendous amount of energy and frequency.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That's true.
Yeah, even being around bodies of water, you know, anything negative ions, things that can generate vibrational frequency, nature. You know, I gave a lecture in person last week at Little Shop of Lilith in Butler, Pennsylvania on cryptozoology. And one of the things that we discussed with the people who attended was that oftentimes when we think about like the Sasquatch or fairies or goblins or trolls or the things that we generally see in the forest from like movies and TV shows, it isn't necessarily that they only live in the woods, in the mountains, and in tunnels. It's not necessarily that that's where they live and where they hide, although that is a big factor in the nature of their presence. But I also look at things in terms of like frequency and vibration, and there is a different vibrational frequency to dense forest areas. There's a different vibrational frequency to the ocean and to large lakes, to tunnel systems. They actually carry their own vibrational frequency, which is almost the opposite of, say, for example, being right in the middle of a city.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these creatures that we call cryptids, for lack of a better description, they're just species that we know nothing about scientifically. They oftentimes, yes, we do have the monsters and the creatures that you've seen in the movies. They do live in our 3D reality the same as us. Those are the kind that generally do live underground. They live in tunnel systems. They live in mountains and caves, and they're experts at hiding because not only do they really don't want anything to do with humans, but the real dark reality as to why we don't often see cryptids is because they're actually hunted and killed by our leadership. Not farmers with guns, but by our government. Right. Because of part of their campaign to secrecy and keeping their existence from us, that means they have to get rid of them and keep them, you know, keep them out of our awareness. So oftentimes they're hunted and killed. So well, they just have no reason to be with us.
Well, don't you think now it is the 21st century and people aren't dumb anymore? And people are... people like us, you know what I mean? People right. are accepting the fact that there are UFOs, that there are aliens.
Right.
Why to this day, sir, is the government trying to hold all this information? What I cannot see why the government would do such a thing. Are they scared about a mass hysteria? Or are they worried about that we're going to turn on them? What? Or is it the control issue?
All of three. Mass hysteria. We would rise up. We would turn on them. And then they would lose control of us. Like I said, it would just completely invalidate history, science, religion. And so whatever resources that the controllers have left in terms of controlling humans and planet Earth, they really do use that, their maximum resources and technology, to keep the existence of anything that isn't certified science in our animal species from us, because it just right. it ends the matrix as we know it. And then the other little point that I was going to make is that yes, we do have 3D creatures the same as you and I, 3D beings, but there's also what I call densities, which are really not alternate realities, but they're just different levels of consciousness. Okay. They're like different realms of awareness, if that makes sense. And
it makes a lot of sense.
Forests and underwater and in deep caves and tunnel systems, mountains, areas like that, because they generate their own vibrational frequency, which is different than that of, say, for example, dense areas of technology or right in the city in concrete jungles. A lot of the entities and creatures that we call cryptids, they exist in just a slightly alternate frequency band of awareness. Like I say, for example, I usually call it the fourth density is what I call it. And when you're in areas that create what I call density pockets of frequency and vibration, where the energy is so different that it's closer to their version of reality than ours, then that's why we tend to have more experiences and more encounters in places like nature, like in the mountains, like in caves, hikes, forests, just because that isn't necessarily where they hide because there are less humans there, but that's because the creatures that are, we don't perceive with our 3D senses.
Right.
We have to tune to their frequency, which is what I call the fourth or fifth density. Those areas have density pockets of energy that is closer to their version of reality. And that's why people end up having more encounters there, just because it's closer to their world, in a sense.
Okay, so I'm thinking your density, right?
Yes.
Would that be like considered a plane?
Yes. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's what I wanted, because there's a lot of people that listen to me that really don't know what's up with the density. Hey, Joe Fox, good to see you. But I understand that. So it's like saying, like, I was up Donegal this morning, you know. So I'm in Donegal and I'm fishing this one area, mm-hmm. and I just go maybe 100 yards somewhere else to where feeling the energy from the different types of energy.
Sure.
Is it possible that, so I'm in the third
density.
I'm in the third density.
Right
now. Which is right now. Yeah, where we're at right now. But I moved over and I felt the fourth density. Is it very mm-hmm. possible, sir, that there
yes.
could be a cryptid hanging in there?
You're definitely in the like vibration to have a higher probability of being in their presence and having an encounter. Absolutely.
Okay. And when you have experienced these, you know, things, what you have witnessed, what did you do? What, you're still here. You're not dead. You know what I mean? How did you kind of stayed away from it or tried to avoid the situation when you had these encounters?
Good question. So if it was anything before the year 2012, before my scope of how I perceive reality really changed in a life-altering way, I would be scared. I would be terrified. When I had these encounters, I didn't understand the nature of reality that I do now. I didn't know what these things were. For me, like the average person, it was like I was right in the middle of my own horror film, and these creatures were just there to scare me and to you know, mm-hmm. eat me up. And so for the first half of my life, that was my reaction to these things when they happen. I was scared. I was frightened. I was never harmed. I was never attacked by them, but psychologically, you know, my free will was definitely being infringed on in terms of like manipulating my fear and my anxiety and my stress. That's a lot of what those tricksters would do. Mm-hmm. So, but after 2012, 2013, when I changed in a lot of ways, then I understood more about what's natural, right? So if you want to understand more about nature, then expand your understanding of what is natural. So then I understood that these things they exist, they're real. And that I'm in control of my own reality to a very, very great degree. And so when I have encounters now, I almost never experience anything that is fear-based, that is frightening to look at or scary in appearance, something that makes me feel uncomfortable or like I'm not in control, something that's trying mm-hmm. to scare me. Those things don't fuck with me anymore. They leave me alone because I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of. I know that I'm in control of a lot of my reality. And so they just stay away from me. I don't even exist in a version of reality that's attractive to them because they can't frighten me the way that they used to when I was younger. So the encounters that I have now, anything in the realm of a cryptid, it isn't like I'm immune to the more malevolent tricksters that exist that want to get a rise out of you or want to scare you a little bit. Or see what you're about. It's like I do still have some of those encounters to a degree, but I'm not afraid and I don't feel threatened and I certainly don't feel like I'm in actual danger. If anything, I become really inquisitive. I become really curious. I want to investigate and I want to know, why are you here? What do you want? What is this interaction? You know, how can I help you? What can I do for you? Like, I don't run in fear anymore like I used to, if anything manifests. And like I said, when things do manifest now, generally speaking, they're very positive, extraterrestrial races. They do not mean me any harm. If anything, they're always in support of me and trying to help. I've met the Sasquatch both before my spiritual awakening and after my spiritual awakening, and they're always very positive experiences, very fascinating, very exciting encounters with, you know, the unknown. And it's not anything that makes me feel like I'm in danger. I don't feel scared. And after my spiritual awakening, I've seen like little goblin type things that aren't really dangerous. They're just more like curious. I've seen a variety of different, say, for example, UFOs that work with extraterrestrials directly. And nothing after, say, 2013 has ever made me uncomfortable. So whenever it happens, okay, let's just, to simplify it, I invite the encounters, the experiences they're fascinating and interesting to me. It's not anything that I'm afraid of anymore.
My friend Joe Fox says, Daniel, did you say they encumbered you when it came to you manifesting abundance, money or otherwise?
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand the question correctly. Could you maybe read it one more time?
Yeah, you know what? I'll bring it up so you can read it if it shows.
Thank you.
Whoop.
Would you?
Come on. Okay.
Would you say they encumbered you when it came to you manifesting abundance? Oh, I understand. No, I wouldn't. Two different things. And if anything tries to do that when I'm working on positive things like abundance or money or health or relationships or anything that's positive, I do see interference and over encumberments happen. But when they do, I immediately acknowledge it as what it is, as a type of interference, and it goes away as soon as I say, you know what, nice try. No, this is what my intention is. These are what my goals are. This is what I'm working on. This is what my intention to manifest is. And that energy, that frequency that I put out, like a beam, like a laser of knowing what my reality can be and what I want it to be. Yes, there's always interference, but it doesn't last long, and it doesn't really have a long lasting effect on me.
And Joe says, excellent. Okay, thank you. But when you talk about these frequencies and stuff, I know when something's out there trying to mess with what I'm doing. Do you know what
And
I
that
mean?
Does happen. It does happen.
Yes. Yeah. When it comes to energy work, and then when it comes to using my senses for me not manifesting stuff, but when I get into my paranormal investigating.
Sure.
I'm not good with words.
That's all right.
But I know when someone's there trying to mess with me. I can hear them, I can see them, I can feel them. But what's funny about it, they don't realize that I can see all this. And usually what I do is I call my spirit animal guide.
Perfect.
Lakota, he's a wolf, and he goes and he takes care of that shit.
It's a power symbol for you. It's like an astral projection. Astral protection. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. I love that. That's a great, I would highly recommend that exercise for anybody. It feels like they're having interference. You can call upon your guides and your protectors. We all have them. It's just a matter of being consciously aware and knowing when we need them and knowing how to ask for help and trusting that we're protected. And then all of the astral interference, the astral entities, the astral parasites we talk about all the time, they're there. They're real. They're always around us trying to interfere with our mission, trying to get in the way of our journey and knock us off our game, lower our vibrational frequency. And so when we know these things are happening, we just acknowledge it for what it is, as an attack or an interference. And then from that point, we can choose what we prefer for ourselves. That's calling in our help and saying, you know what? I'm in control, not you. Nice try.
I'd like that. And you can even do that with other humans too. But
absolutely.
River Rose says, I have to agree with Daniel on the sightings and feelings. The older I got, the more I got to know myself. And
that's
my own energy changed, the more control I got over myself in any encounter. I also learned grounding also has a lot to do with it.
Right.
The more connected to nature you are with respect and peace in your mind and heart, the more beneficial the experience is. And I thank you for sharing that, Rose. I agree with that too,
I agree.
because I know I'm from the city of Pittsburgh, dude. And, you know, when I hate woods, you know, I might go in 50 yards and that's about it and shit. But, you know, whenever I would have to experience woods or go into the woods, okay, I'd definitely have somebody with me that knew what they were doing. But I felt protected there from the goblins, from the fairies, from, you know, all the woodsy people, the little people in the woods,
Tricksters.
and tricked. And that I just know where you guys are coming from. I would like to have coffee with you someday and just sit down and talk about this, because I learned so much from you, and I know you're a busy man, so hopefully we can do that this summer. Kaysen says, Daniel, what's your take on energy work such as Reiki?
Yes, I'm a fan. So with Reiki, say for example, what we say in energy healing is you're never healing anybody. You're only offering a vibrational frequency that allows the recipient to heal themselves. But I'm a big fan of Reiki. I've had it done to myself. I'm introduced into how to use it a little bit myself. I'm a huge fan of things like sound healing, sound baths, things like crystal bowls, working with vibrational sound and music as healing as well. I'm somebody who does work with energy, so like I know how to channel, I know how to remote view, I know how to astral project, and, I know how to I know all of my clairvoyances, my clairaudiences, my clairsentience. So I'm big into that whole field, that whole world. And the one sort of like really complicated, hard to understand metaphysical thing that I'll say about energy work is I believe that each of us are in our own version of reality. Imagine, if you will, you're in your own snow globe, and I'm in my own snow globe. And whenever we have an interaction with somebody, we're co-creating an experience with their version of reality, but we're still in our own subjective version. So when we do energy work or energy healing, on another person, you literally cannot affect them because they're in their own version of reality. That's why I use the analogy that you can offer a frequency, and through the co-creation of our collective consciousness, they can perceive that energy vibration, that healing energy, and then they can choose to receive it or not, and allow it to benefit them. But we're never healing anybody, and no one's ever healing us. It's just a matter of the intention behind it and offering that frequency vibration of energy to the person. So when I mentioned that we're all in our own version of reality, the reason why I mentioned things like astral projecting or remote viewing, it's because, like, let's say I lost an item and I want to find it. So I use remote viewing to find the missing item. Well, I'm not actually leaving my body and going and finding the thing. Rather, I'm creating a version of reality where I now know where the thing is. I'm creating a version of reality where I've found the thing. And so astral projection or remote viewing is just a language. It's a process language of how we got to that point. So the same could be said about energy healing, Reiki, sound, frequency, vibration, any of those techniques. I love them and I use them and I validate them. But we also remember that if you want to heal somebody, you're actually having an intention for that person to experience health and restoration. And then you're creating a version of that person in your reality that heals.
Wow. That's thank you, Daniel. And that we're running out of time here, bud.
Sure.
Could I have you back on again?
Yeah, man, this is fun. I apologize for being late this evening. Thank you
Oh,
for your
that's okay.
patience
You
and
had to work, and we'll talk later on in the week, okay? And then we'll set up a
sure.
date. Also, I am on Sunday nights too,
Okay, yeah.
from 8:10 to 9:10. And Kaysen says, "Got you." And Cindy's just like, "Awesome! What's that
Cool.
awesome?" Joe says, good topic and great guest tonight. So before I let you go, dude, I appreciate you. I've learned so much from you.
Right
I'm
on, brother.
coming
Thanks for having me,
I
man.
really oh man I am Don't worry, I'll get you on again. Because right. I need to learn. I need to learn. But in a minute or so, what how can people reach you, or do you have something new coming up with?
Yes, real quick. So I'm on all the social medias just under my name, Daniel James. I do have like a WordPress website where I have some services that I offer. Things like the Spirit Contact Protocol is something that I absolutely love doing. That's anybody that wants to connect to their passed on loved ones, to their personal spirit guides, their extraterrestrial star families, their higher selves. I wrote an exercise called the Spirit Contact Protocol where you can actually directly communicate to them in spirit. So that's something that I love to work with people on. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I have regular content that I release on my YouTube channel. And other than that, I'm just a full-time filmmaker. And so if you ever like to see my work or my independent films, you can look up The Moment Imaging on YouTube. You can look up Daniel James on YouTube or Tragic Hero Productions. Those are my three channels where I produce all my content. I would love to connect with you guys. And thank you for having me, Sean.
Daniel, thank you for coming on. Everybody says excellent show. And right on. Daniel, you're a great topic. So you have a good night. And thank you again. And seriously, my people would love to have you back on as a
Thank you, brother. Cool, right, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Yep. What a show, dudes and dudettes. I love the guy. I mean, he's great. I learned so much from him. He's so down to earth, and he speaks his mind. And there's a couple things that I learned tonight that I didn't really, you know, realize. But I will have him on again. I'm glad everybody enjoyed the show tonight. And I'm just very, very grateful that you all are here. It, you know, makes me feel good. Children, if you can, please go to your parents and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And parents, please go to your children, give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And if you don't have no children, if you don't have no parents, find somebody and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. Because those three words, I love you, go a long way. And on that note, good night, everybody, and we'll see you Sunday night at 8:10 p.m. Good night.